Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever precious and the worthy name of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the study of God's precious Word today. We continue on the blessed theme that has been before us, the second coming of our blessed Lord. We lift our hearts in simple but sincere desire to know, beloved radio friend, are you ready to meet the Lord? We believe very firmly that the imminent coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is upon us. And oh, what great events will take place when the Lord Jesus comes back again. We have been seeking particularly to remind our hearts and our consciences that there are judgments that are yet to come upon this world and upon all humanity before the events of our Lord's return will be completed, even toward the end of the millennial age and into the glory of a new eternity that will someday begin. We would purposely take a scripture today from the book of Revelation chapter 20 to bring before our hearts and our consciences the enormity of judgment that will face the whole human race at the end of time. All this, of course, depends upon and will consummate by the return of our Lord and the consummation of God's divine purposes for the earth. But we would indeed read the words that are solemnly recorded by John the Apostle, chapter 20 in the book of Revelation, reading at verse 11 to the end of the chapter. John writing by the Holy Spirit to say, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell, or Hades, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." May God by His Holy Spirit bless the reading, and by that same blessed Holy Spirit give the interpretation and the needed illumination to our hearts and minds concerning what is called in the Word of God and revealed in this Scripture, the great white throne judgment. May I present to you, my beloved listener, some revelation of truth regarding the description that is given of that throne. John writing to say, "I saw a great white throne." Note the description. Why is it called a great white throne? Truly can only be called great because of the vastness of the occasion when all the dead from all human history, from the beginning of time to the end of time, will be standing before God who have not been redeemed in particular. And the vastness of that occasion warrants it being called a great white throne. Then also please note the description implies the purity and the righteousness of the judgment of that throne, declaring the holiness of God by the word white. Why is it white? Oh, again we emphasize, because of the purity, the righteousness, and the holiness of God's judgment upon that occasion. My beloved, there'll be no miscarriage of justice. There will be but the purity and the righteousness and the holiness of God revealed in that great eternal day of judgment. so that we may recognize. The description very truthfully describes the character of that throne. It is a great and it is a white throne. But then we have also one who is described as the judge, though very little is said concerning him. But we have the throne sitter revealed. For John writes, "Not only did I see the great white throne, but I also saw him that sat upon it." Now, my beloved radio friend, consider with me very carefully and very prayerfully, who will be seated as the judge upon that great white throne? We have already touched upon the fact, but we repeat it again from the Word of Scripture, that when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was upon the earth, in the words of John chapter 5, verse 22, the Savior declared, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." I believe we may have stated on a previous occasion, there are distinctly different judgments yet to come. There is the judgment seat of Christ for the believers. There is the judgment of living nations, which will take place at the coming again to the earth of the Lord. We read in the Word of God there is to be a judgment of angels, and we have before us the judgment of the great white throne. They are distinctly different. They differ as to time. They differ as to place. They may differ as to the subjects who are judged and even the results of the judgment. But in every one of them, this judge is the same person. Let me please quote again John 5 and verse 22. Jesus saying, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Whether it be the judgment seat of Christ for believers, whether it will be the judgment of the living nations as described in Matthew 25, whether it will be the judgment of angels, whether it will be the judgment of all the dead who at the end of time shall stand before him, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is the judge, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then may I continue very briefly to state, as John goes on to say, when that scene of judgment is instituted, when the blessed Lord Jesus takes his place upon that throne of judgment in that coming time or eternal day, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Oh, please may I note that one of the first results of this judgment, described by John the Apostle, when our Savior takes his seat upon that great white throne, the dissolution of the present heaven and of the present earth as we now know it. I would like to bring before your attention the words of Peter in chapter 3 of his second epistle. And may I read, if I can, verse 10, where the revelation of the dissolution of the universe as we now know our present universe will someday take place. Peter writes by divine inspiration, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." My beloved, if you wish to pinpoint, and the only way you can pinpoint, this scene of dissolution that is yet to take place concerning our present heaven and earth as we know our solar system today, it will be at the time, as John writes in the Revelation chapter 20, when the blessed Lord Jesus takes his place upon that great white throne, from his face the earth and the heaven fled away. Oh, please note it. Peter has declared in his second epistle, chapter 3, "Though the world was once destroyed by water, never again will it be, For well we know the promise of Jehovah to Noah long ago, and the rainbow in the sky is the assurance that never again will our God destroy the earth with a flood. But nevertheless, at the end of time, he declares, 'twill be destroyed by fire. And in that night, the heavens and the earth will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. O my beloved, the works of the therein shall be burned up. We shall be upon the threshold of that new and glorious creation, when there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. But the dissolution of the old heaven and the old earth is going to take place. And well may we indeed realize, 'twill take place at that moment, when from the face of the Savior upon that great throne, this great conflagration will happen. And with a mighty roar, my beloved, the atoms will explode, not just in one locality, in all the present heavens and earth that have been stained by sin. The dissolution of that sinful universe will happen. What a joy to know that Savior will himself take care of that. Then may I also be reminded with you, my listening friend, man will not be permitted to destroy this earth, though the fear of it may be in the hearts and minds of many. Yet the word of God very clearly, distinctly declares, only the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the universe is maintained, when he removes his hand of sustaining power over the universe, 'twill disappear. And oh, when we realize the myriads of human beings will have no place upon earth or in the present heavens to stand, but will be brought before the Lord Jesus to stand in judgment in space before him. My beloved, if you are not saved, may I point out to you the danger and the impossibility of escaping that judgment unless you come to Christ in the present time and receive him as your Savior. Blessed Father, by the Spirit of God, sanctify the truth of thy word to both saint and sinner for thy glory. Amen.